Mel is dying.
I'm trying not to.
I mean, I'd like to keep you around. I do have a vacation planned where I'm coming to visit you, and if you're not there, then that kind of is a sad thing.
Yeah, that would kind of suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah!
Welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 57 on May 25th, 2022, and I am your host, Melanie.
And I am your other host, Juliana.
Oh, look at that. We have two hosts.
Wow. Wow. Is this new? Wow. No one would have ever guessed. If you are a longtime listener, friends, you never would have guessed that there would be two hosts on here. Who would have ever, ever thought?
How fancy.
Double the trouble, double the fun, Mel. Double everything.
So, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Juliana, how are you? We just watched Eurovision.
Yes.
This entire last week as we are recording.
I love Eurovision. Mel has introduced me to Eurovision, and it is what a treat, what a joy. I would just like to say, oh, the wolf, eat your grandma, give that wolf a banana, give that wolf. Give that wolf. Ooh. Yum, 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 yum. Banana.
Our favorite song of the year came from Norway.
Subwoofer.
Unfortunately, they did not go far.
No.
Well, we still enjoyed it. We still love it. It's still in our head for the next couple months, probably. And we will always...
Oh, easily.
We will always have this as a favorite from now on.
Yeah. And we're excited because Ukraine won, and that was a really nice moment, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too. The whole year of Eurovision was just a big warm hug and really showing that we are all standing together and help each other, and that there's just love and there shouldn't be anything else. Enough with the Eurovision. What are we actually doing today, Juliana?
Yes. So today we're going to talk about essentially the things we didn't get to talk about in the Secrets of Dumbledore movie, because Mel and I, as you listeners already know, really loved this movie and had a lot of things to say about it initially and gave you our initial reaction on the last episode. So this one we're going to talk about what exactly are the Secrets of Dumbledore, why we get this title, and also any points that we missed and any feedback we have from you listeners that we would like to share on the show. So strap in for some more Secrets of Dumbledore fun.
No actual answers to the Secrets of Dumbledore guaranteed. We just shall see theories. What happens.
This is all just Mel and I's theories and also opinions and theories that you have all shared with us. We do not work for Warner Brothers. We do not write this movie. We don't have that kind of power.
And now that we have cleared that up...
Because everyone was just like, wow, Juliana wrote this whole movie. Mel must have written the screenplay. Like, it just, everyone was thinking that.
Yeah. All right. So first, though, we will, as usual, jump into the news and Juliana will get us there.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the news. Today, we have a few small things on the news, and we're going to start with something that's happening down in Universal Orlando at the Harry Potter parks, and that is that the Hogwarts Express will be closed beginning on June 9th, which just so happens to be my birthday. Until June 19th for refurbishment. So if you are going down to the parks during that time, you can't ride the Hogwarts Express, which is kind of a shame because as someone who's been there, it's kind of a fun little thing that you get to do. But alas, you can't do that for like 10 days.
If you're angry about it, curse Juliana on her birthday.
Yeah, I'll be a cursed child 2 days afterwards, so I will curse you right back.
So for those not native English speakers, what does refurbishment mean?
Ah, so it just means they're going to just clean it up and really tighten any bolts that need tightening. Just make sure that everything is running correctly.
So regular maintenance, basically.
Yeah, yeah, just regular maintenance. And they might upgrade, like, a few things, but since it's only going to be 10 days, I imagine maybe they'll, like, replace seat cushions or something. Something simple like that.
Right. So.
But speaking of the cursed child, Mel. Mm-hmm. Our next item on the docket is that the Cursed Child in Toronto, Canada will open on May 31st, which is the first Canadian production of the Cursed Child.
Okay.
And that will be at the CAA Ed Mirvish Theatre. And I looked on the website and you can actually buy tickets already for that. So if you're interested and you live in the area, you can go ahead and purchase tickets to that. And I believe they are doing the one act play.
Ah, yeah. That we are still waiting on Juliana seeing herself so she can report back what kind of cuts and... yeah, what changes on the play, so...
And also, possibly a reaction from my mom. If I can get her to react and give us, like, her one-minute reaction, I think that would be kind of funny.
Okay, now I want that to happen.
Okay, and so we have one last thing on our news docket, and what is that, Mel?
So, our live stream that we held with David from Crooked Ones is now on our Instagram profile for you to rewatch if you have missed it. We did a giveaway with him and announced the winner in there. You also could answer some riddles and extra questions. It was just overall yet another fabulous, great conversation with David, which we really much enjoyed. So we can't wait to have more of those with him because we really love David.
Yeah,
so go on Instagram.
If you look under our video section on our Instagram profile, it's going to be the first one that pops up because that's the last video that we did.
Yeah, there you go.
For in our feedback section today, we say are saving most of our feedback for the main discussion because we got some good comments back on our posts on Instagram from a lot of you and also some lovely emails, so we will read those a little bit further down. And we just also want to thank everyone who participated on our social media with the riddles and jokes that David provided to us, which were very fun.
Yes.
And just so all you listeners know, he wrote those all, pretty much. Yeah. They were mostly original ones from him.
That was great. But, Juliana.
Yes.
We have one last thing before we actually jump into our main discussion.
I know. Mel wants me to say I'm sorry. And I will. Yes. I'll say I'm sorry. But you know what? A Slytherin's going to be a Slytherin, my friend.
So, in our last episode, we might have poked a little bit fun at Patrick.
Yeah. It's all in good fun, Patrick, so I apologize if I offended you. We're only just here to have a good time, and if we say anything that's a little bit ruder, it's usually just a joke. So,
so of course, Patrick knows that it was just a joke and that we were kidding, but still we wanted to say we are sorry, and we really appreciated your feedback and that you gave us so much to discuss. So, because that ended up actually giving us a great discussion about Jacob and the Quillin. So, sorry, the Chillin. I keep doing that because it's written Quillin. Why is it written the Quillin when
I don't know.
Pronounced the Chillin?
It's not in the Fantastic Beasts book, Mel.
Who did that?
It's not there. I don't know.
Okay, so now that we have the news and apologies of the day out, I suggest Juliana is sending us out of the news and into the main discussion.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Thank you for joining us for the news, listeners. Okay, into the main discussion. Mel puts music here. Okay, listeners, so welcome to our main discussion for the week. As we talked about at the top of the episode, we are going to talk about what in the heck are the secrets of Dumbledore, in our opinion. Also, some feedback from you and any other things that we missed that we wanted to talk about this movie. So this is kind of a mixed bag of secrets of Dumbledore fun.
Because we know you want it, so...
Yeah. Well, mostly Mel and I don't want to shut up about this movie, and that's really
also true.
That's really the thing is, like, We have a lot of opinions about this movie and a lot of insight and hot takes, and we've kind of discovered through listening to other people talking and listening to our own ranting that we are kind of low-key experts on this movie now at this point because of the amount of time we've spent just dissecting like literally every tiny little thing. Are we nerds? Yes.
Of course we are.
Take it proud. Or leave it.
But yeah. Now that you claimed that we are experts, someone is coming after us for sure and telling us, haha, here's the point that proves that you are wrong.
Go for it. Out nerd me. I dare you.
Yes, out nerd us. We yes. challenge you. Do it.
Send us a DM. Send me a DM directly. I love hearing people's hot takes about this movie. Even if they're negative, I really like hearing what other people have to say.
And this is what we have for the next 100 years before possibly yes. the next movie comes out. Mm-hmm. This is interesting stuff, and I think that everyone is appreciating it more or less, depending on if you... So far, I have heard only good stuff from people who have listened to our actual review to the episode yes. that everyone quite enjoyed the discussion,
yeah.
that we had some good points. I'll go by that, and I think we can say we did a good job.
I will say we did a good job. Just a very, very, very biased opinion. So, Mel, should we start off with some responses from our friends that we got?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
Andre wrote to us and he said, "Hey, my lovely friends, about the blood pact being broken, I understand it was because of the sacrifice of love. Remember Dumbledore said that love was the most powerful type of magic? When he simply thought of fighting Grindelwald, the blood pact tried to kill him. And to defend his nephew, he didn't even hesitate. He sacrificed himself to save his brother's son. This is the ultimate power. Avada Kedavra is an indefensible spell. How would the Dumbledore brothers manage to block it to protect Aurelius? I understand that Albus performing the spell symbolized his own sacrifice, a sacrificial protection, which would be the only known counterspell. Thus, with the most powerful magic of all, the pact was broken."
See, this kind of goes along with what we talked about, Mel, where it's the love of Dumbledore that is the thing that really breaks the pact. It's not like the spells themselves. It's the intention behind them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Andre is getting at from a different angle.
Yeah, comparing it to what Lily did for Harry, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if Dumbledore is, like, sacrificing himself in this moment, because if he hadn't sent that spell out, the Avada Kedavra would not have hit Dumbledore. It yeah. would have hit Credence. So he's not really sacrificing himself.
Yeah, I get what you mean. That was my thought as well.
Yeah. I mean, I like where Andre's coming from and I like the idea behind it, but I don't think that Dumbledore is quote unquote sacrificing himself. I think mm-hmm. he's using love as a mechanism to defend Credence and send whatever that spell was out and protect him. And then Aberforth also, again, out of love, is doing the exact same thing. So you have two like spells of love hitting one spell of hate. And so maybe that is the thing that is protecting Credence. But neither Aberforth nor Dumbledore in that exact moment where the spells are coming at Credence are sacrificing themselves. Because again, because if they don't do that, it's Credence that dies and not them. It doesn't like radiate out and kill everyone around him when it hits Credence.
Was Aberforth also sending a spell out? I am not 100% sure if I saw that or not.
Yeah, they meet in the middle. It's a three-way, like...
So it's also coming from Aberforth. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a little triangle thingy that happens. And then we kind of get into the... And Dumbledore and Grindelwald kind of go into their weird, unexplained, blood pact, possibly dimension thingy that... goes completely unexplained, pretty much.
Yeah, so I really love this idea. I think just the sacrificing part, we have to think a little bit more about that, how to explain that.
Yeah. It's not like Dumbledore jumped in front of Credence and was like, no!
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a spell from the side.
Okay. So,
okay. What else did Andre say, Mel?
You let me know. You take the next bite.
Oh, I get the next. Okay. So, Andre likes to talk, and he had some more to say. About Jacob's wand, The most interesting thing is to know that it was made of snake wood, the same wood as Salazar Slytherin's wand, which is taken to the USA and planted in the land of Ilvermorny. It gives us a beautiful connection between Jacob being an American muggle, a race that was despised by Salazar, and marrying an American witch who studied at the school founded by Isolde Sire.
I don't know how to pronounce her name either.
Yeah, the girl from the Ilvermorny backstory who founds Ilvermorny.
Yes.
And is a
what is she? Ah, okay. I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she is a descendant of Salazar Slytherin, and Jacob married a muggle. So did we talk about the snakewood? I don't know if we talked about snakewood, Mel.
We did, actually.
Did we? Oh, yeah. Was that in our trailer breakdown? Is that when we talked about it?
I think we talked in our last episode in the review about it. I mentioned that the wand wood was made of snakewood, but we talked about that we had an idea of what is going on with his wand, but that we didn't quite get it fully.
Yeah, we were close, but not quite.
Yeah, then I said that it was made of snake wood, but there is just no magical core to it. So that's what we had mentioned. So yeah, I really like this comparison. It does actually fit. It parallels. Mm-hmm. So that he is a muggle marrying an American witch, just like Isolde was marrying a muggle as well. And the connection there with the wand wood type, I think that actually works. So good observation, I like it.
Yeah, so with these movies, Mel, I can never tell what is like intentional and what is just kind of like it just so happened to be that way, because I feel like this movie is half written by people who know the stories of the backstories and half written by people who don't know the backstory.
Do we even know anymore who is writing how much of these stories? Because we don't. We know that the core ideas are probably coming from her, the one that shall not be named.
Yeah.
But that there is lots of assistant writers that will go through it as well. So we can't even tell anymore how much is actually written by her and how much is not.
Yeah, I like, in the context of the movie, I like this, but again, my brain likes to think, was this just a happy accident that the people who don't really know the stories just put this in here, or was it something that was intentionally put in here?
I could see it being intentional, just that it's something not that many people will pick up on. Of course, Andre would, because he is very smart.
Yeah, he's a wand maker.
I don't know, but I really love it, so
yeah, no, that's a great one.
Then we still got a little bit of celebration from Andre, which I wanted to include because we were waiting for his reaction. Since Andre, as you all know by now, probably is from Brazil himself. And he says, I don't even need to say how wonderful it was to see Vincencia Santos being elected to supreme, all-powerful master of all witches. The Brazilian public went crazy screaming inside the movie theater, he says. Popcorn everywhere. And when the Rio de Janeiro scene appeared, my wonderful city, I went to heaven and came back. We understand, therefore, that the Ministry of Magic of Brazil is in Rio de Janeiro, very close to where I work. That is really exciting. So as soon as you find that entrance, let us know, Andre.
Yeah, let us know.
And then he still says, hugs and kisses from Brazil, land of the Supreme Chief of the International Confederation of Magic. Yes, I am very proud of it. We are officially part of the wizarding world.
Yay! That's so exciting. Now we just need to get Finland in, Mel, because we've already... I live in Massachusetts, so we're already established.
That will never happen.
No, that's never going to happen. That's Finland doesn't exist.
No
it's
one
not
pays
real.
Attention to Finland.
You know what, Mel? I'm going to say this, and listeners, you can keep me on record. I'm going to eat my underwear if Finland is in the next movie.
Now it has to happen.
I know. That's why I'm going to say that, because now Finland is going to be in the next movie. I'm going to be shoving a pair of underwear in my mouth again like I did last time.
I still doubt it would happen, but at least we saw Germany, even though I will not start my rant again about the politician side of the whole thing, because we know how I stand with that. But we did see a little bit of the ministry. We saw Germany, so I am already happy that we did that, that we officially got some characters from there as well, even though they were all a bit shifty.
Helmut
was there.
I was gonna say that he has a potential to be a better character, but honestly I think he's just like a bad dude.
Yeah,
nothing to do with like the Nazi subplot, but I think he's just like a bad guy. Like, he just doesn't seem like someone who's gonna turn around. So poor Helmut, he's going to just stay a mean man, I think, if we see him in the next movie.
But Andre, we are super happy for you and very excited for you. And we loved Santos just as much as you did.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to see her. Hopefully we could get a little bit more of her, although I doubt it that this would happen. But, well, you never know with these.
Yeah. Do we want to talk, Mel, about, just because we're kind of like in that realm, because one of the things we didn't really talk too much about is how they never really fleshed out the election.
Yes.
And we know this is a point that we kind of touched on in the last episode, but didn't really go into any real.
It was in our bonus recording, actually, on Patreon. Go and check that out if you want. It's up there.
Patreon.com/puffcast for as little as $2 a month. Thank you very much.
That's where we discussed that a little bit. I believe who brought it up? Was it Marjolaine?
I think it might have been Marjolaine, yeah. I know how you felt, Mel, but I feel like we just didn't get any kind of, like, backstory. The election was just kind of there, and then they didn't really tell us anything about what was going on, and then it just kind of happened.
I think it was okay that it was just there, that we were thrown into it right away. We didn't need a story that was leading us into it. We all got the idea, okay, there's an election happening. We all know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been really nice to see the speeches of the candidates that are actually there competing with each other, trying to be elected. Because that would have given them a chance to have a bit more of a... that they could show their personality a little bit. That we would know what are they actually standing for. Are they really good guys? Are they having good intentions? Are they good people? And just the fact that we never heard even a word from these people is just...
Leo Tao didn't say a single word in the entire movie.
And at least not in the final cut. I mean, we can always expect possibly some extended scenes, some deleted scenes, yes. But that we didn't hear anything is kind of sad. It's not that it's super important to the plot, of course. And for time's sake, they probably thought, okay, this is not necessary. Let's not put it in there. But a proper election would usually have that. And we did not see any of it. So even though... And I think that speaks to the actress of Santos, that despite her not really being able to show us who she really is and what she's standing for, we still fell in love with her anyway, and we were all cheering for her when she won.
Yeah. I think it would have been a little bit beneficial to the plot to at least hear some kind of information about these people, because we just don't...
Yeah, shortly, you know, if each of them would get like 2 sentences.
Yeah, like give them each like 30 seconds even.
Yeah, very short.
Yeah. Be like, Leo Tao could stand up and be like, I stand for X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. Like, give him like 30 seconds to just like give us a kind of like character expose. And I think that really would have paid off a lot.
I also have to say, I would have really loved to hear their accents, because I just love hearing the different accents, and maybe they would have thrown something of their own language into it as well.
Yeah.
Because we have this great diversity of characters in there that come from all sorts of places, and it would have brought a little bit of something special into it.
Yeah.
You now probably don't have a chance to do anymore because this election is over.
Yeah, I will say they were chanting when they were doing the crowd scenes. Some of the time they were chanting in either Chinese or Portuguese, But then the scenes where we could actually kind of audibly hear what they were saying, everyone was speaking in English. I think just because they had to portray what they were saying to the viewer, and they're assuming the viewer speaks English and not Portuguese or Chinese. But yeah, it would have been so much more fun to get a lot more of the different languages and accents and different nationalities of the Supreme Mugwump candidate.
I agree. All right, so moving on to a question we actually ask you guys online on our social media. We wanted to know from you, what do you rate this movie?
Out of 5 firebuck crabs, how many firebuck crabs would you give it?
And we have gotten a couple of answers from you, and we want to share them with you from, I believe it's pronounced Miss Buchencrafts.
Yes.
They wrote, 4 out of 5 firebutt crabs for me. Really enjoyed it, even more the second watch through. Do you guys think that Credence's identity was planned from the start, or a script rewrite or fix?
Definitely a script rewrite. There's no way they planned that from the start. I'm really sorry. Oh, there's no. Fantastic Beasts was taking Credence on one train. And then Crimes of Grindelwald blew up the train with the giant bomb. And then Secrets of Dumbledore was like, oh my goodness, we have all these pieces we have to put back together. Someone put this man back together. He's personally, and this is just Juliana's opinion, I do not think in any capacity that was their plan for Credence with the first Fantastic Beasts movie.
I might disagree a little bit with you there, thinking that the plan from the start was probably that he is going to be a Dumbledore. But the way we got there was probably messed up, because we had this, again, we have talked about this before, so I'm not going to go into detail again, but we had this whole thing with Leda and family stories of them.
It goes nowhere.
It was kind of pointless. I mean, interesting, yes, if it would have gone somewhere, but it didn't. And that's why I feel like this, the way we got there was messed up, and there we probably had lots of rewrites and other things. But the main point that he would become a Dumbledore was probably set in stone already from the beginning.
Now the real question is, Mel, do you think the way that he found out that he was a Dumbledore originally was planned to be via moisture-based mirror communication? Or was that a rewrite?
I mean, that's not how he found it out, though. He knew that from Grindelwald, and he did not lie about it. He was actually honest with him.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
The one thing, and we can get into that later, because we are still talking more about the secrets. The way he found out and how the communication started that Aberforth was potentially his family is a whole nother secret thing that we can talk about later.
Okay.
Maybe moving on first.
Yes. So our second review comes from Andre, and he said, 10 out of 5 firebutt crabs.
That is a lot of firebutt crabs.
Yes, that's how many firebutt crabs I would like when I... Funko, where you at, my friends? We don't have any Funko Pops that are coming out. Where is my firebutt crab Funko Pop?
You know what I want?
What?
I want a new Grindelwald Funko Pop. I want the version of Mads.
Yeah, the Mads.
And then I want to take the Johnny Depp one, I want to take away and replace it with Mads' version.
Yeah. That's oh my what goodness. I want the Lally Hicks one really bad too.
Yeah, that too.
I want her, and then I want 10 to 20 firebutt crabs, approximately.
Okay, so what else did Andre say still?
Okay.
10 out of 5.
And he said, whoever gave it the least number of firebutt crabs didn't see the movie properly. So Andre is a huge fan of this movie.
That's a hot take.
So fix your eyes, friends, if you don't think it's good, apparently.
Andre is coming for you.
Yes.
Then we still had David from Crooked Wands, and he says, and I think Andre is coming for you now.
Yeah, watch out.
He says, I give it a 2.5, so 2.5 firebutt crabs. My rating is subject to change, though, after I see it again.
Yes. Okay, we have one more from our friend Anna, and she said, a solid 3 out of 5. Some stuff really annoyed me, like a certain beast looking nothing like it is supposed to look.
Which one are you talking about?
No one would ever guess which one she's talking about.
I have no idea.
No clue. The absence of a certain main character.
What?
Yeah,
who?
I know.
Again, who are you talking
Mysteries.
About?
Mysteries. These are the secrets of Dumbledore, my friends. And things getting rushed and all the fan servicing. I love the visuals, the score, and Mads Askrenwald was amazing. I liked it very much and how they tied things up, but I'm skeptical if we're going to get movies 4 and 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of on that train too, where we liked this movie. They tied it up nicely, but we're kind of on the fence if they're going to move on to a 4th or 5th movie.
I think at this point still, no one in this world, not even Warner Brothers, knows yet if 4 and 5 will happen.
Oh yeah, I don't think, I genuinely, Mel, I'm in the exact same train as you. I genuinely do not think there's a single soul on this planet who has made a definitive decision as to whether they're moving forward or not. Because this movie hasn't even gone to streaming yet. It hasn't gone to DVD. It hasn't, and there are a lot of movies. They haven't done well in the theaters because it's still like a weird time to be seeing a movie in a theater. We're kind of just coming back from a lot of the COVID restrictions. COVID's kind of surging up again. There's just a lot going on that people don't want to go to theaters, which completely, like, do not blame anyone for not going to a theater. It's a scary world out there. But once it hits streaming, and this has happened with a couple movies since the pandemic, it's like blown up. Like, people just like watch it because it's there and they start really loving it, which could be a thing that happens with this movie, is that people, especially fans who like aren't as invested as you and I, Mel, who wanted to see it but are kind of just waiting for it to go to streaming, it really could take on a second life when that happens. And also, I'm assuming that Warner Brothers is also waiting to see, hey, how is this going to do once people can just watch it at home?
Yeah.
I think that will be more of a pointing us in the correct direction of whether we're getting movies 4 and 5 or not. Because obviously, the fans who saw this movie, and Julian is going off on a rant right now. If you hadn't guessed, I've been talking for like a solid 2 minutes and have not shut my mouth.
I haven't noticed.
Mel's like, this is typical. Usually
I'm already looking out of the window.
Mel's like, look, there's a bird outside. But,
yeah,
so I think that Juliana's rant just got fully derailed because she took a detour there. So we're just going to end it there. That's the end.
Yeah, great. Okay, that was a great rant.
We'll come back to it.
I'm happy you went there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, moving on. We still had some other posts that asked you, what are your thoughts on Mats being our new Grindelwald?
Yes.
And Margaret wrote to us that Mats was amazing. I feel he made the character his own, and I very much agree with you. But of course, he would make it also more his version, because if you just copy someone straight, how boring would that be, and uninspirational. So you cannot perform a character properly if you just try to copy someone else.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like he took what Johnny Depp did and kind of subdued it a little bit.
More of a mood.
Yeah. Johnny Depp is like a vibe, and Mads Mikkelsen is like a mood.
We prefer the mood.
We prefer the mood. The mood is slinky and it's like, whew, yeah.
Mads mood.
Mads is the mood. And then we had a comment from our friend Anna, and she said, yes, I totally agree. Johnny Depp wasn't bad, but I cannot manage to unsee Jack Sparrow vibes in everything that he did since Pirates of the Caribbean. Mads was brilliant, very subtle, and he managed big and quiet moments, and I love his charm. And we had this discussion before too, Mel, where everything you see Johnny Depp in, you kind of just have like, there's like a sprinkle of Jack Sparrow in the background.
Yep. Absolutely agree with every word you just said.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, there's nothing to add to that. You're right. Then we have one more comment from David, and he says, yep, Mads is the best Grindelwald we've gotten so far. And to that I have to say, excuse me, so far?
Yeah.
There shall never be another Grindelwald being cast, okay? Mads is the ultimate Grindelwald. We're gonna burn everything down. Haven't you listened to our last episode?
We love him. So, Mel, I have actually, in some of the podcasts and in breakdowns I've listened to, people have been discussing if they're going to have a different Grindelwald actor.
Every time.
For every time.
Yeah, we talked about that too, actually.
Yeah, I think that that's stupid. Like, why? Like, the only reasons you've replaced him every other time was, one, they made a weird decision with Colin Farrell in the first one and just wanted to do a transition. They could have just used Colin Farrell.
Weird in a way that they did this kind of secret identity kind of thing. Not that that he was weird, he was great.
No,
he
we loved Colin job. Farrell.
Yes, we loved him.
He actually, I think, honestly, he would have been a better Grindelwald in the second movie than Johnny Depp is.
Yeah.
He's closer to the Grindelwald that Mads plays, but I think that out of the three of them, I definitely agree that I prefer Mads Mikkelsen the best. Yeah. Plus, he has, for me, and this is very important, the best chemistry with
Jude
Law. That sexual tension that he's able to bring between the two of them is, I would say, critical in this movie, because that is a major plot line of this movie, is the romance between these two characters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Johnny Depp would have been able to convey that in a convincing way between him and Jude Law. But it's very, very... If you told me that Mads and Jude Law were married, like off scene, I would totally believe you, because their chemistry is great.
Let's open up another multiverse universe, different timeline, and just make that happen over there and keep spying on them, which is creepy. I take that back. I don't want to be creepy. Okay. So, Juliana.
Yeah.
Now that our friends have shared their opinions and thoughts with us.
Yes.
What do we think are actually exactly the secrets of Dumbledore?
I think the main question is, who do we think the title is referring to specifically? Do we have a theory as to which Dumbledore that this is referring to? Because I have an opinion as to who I think overall this title is pointing at, but I'm kind of interested what you think, Mel. So why don't you tell me what you're thinking first?
So I think I know where you're taking this. I kind of feel like they should have phrased it a little bit different and not just make it sound like it's only about one of the Dumbledores, but that it is about the entire family of Dumbledores.
Yeah, put an S at the end.
Every one of them has their stuff.
The shifty characters.
None of them have their stuff together.
Oh, no, this family is of the hot mess express.
It's... This whole family is a mess. And all of them have certain secrets and hidden things going.
Uh-huh.
I would say it should have changed to that.
Yeah. So the secrets of Dumbledores is what you would have preferred.
Of the Dumbledores. Of the Dumbledores
is what you would have preferred. I agree that that would have been a much more appropriate title for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. Like, this family truly is the Hot Mess Express. And it's just...
Yes, exactly that.
They're riding that train, like, all the way. They're never getting off of it. And... I mean, we see that as Dumbledore ages, even in the Harry Potter books. Like, he is just, like, truly the epitome of a hot mess. There's so much so many things going on with you. Like, literally, what are you doing? So, I think that you're right, Mel, in that all of the people in the Dumbledore family have secrets.
You know what, Juliana?
What?
Let's just take it Dumbledore by Dumbledore and start from the beginning. Let's start with the parents.
Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Okay.
They already started with having a secret surrounding Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
Having this abuse happening to her by Muggle children, causing her to have a development of this obscurus. So they were hiding her away, keeping her a secret so that she wouldn't be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So Kendra already started that kind of behavior here. And then the whole messed up thing that their father attacked those children, that also all being twisted and turned and he ending up in prison. Probably best kept hidden and not talked about, because you are one of those big families that was very well known and...
In an area that seems to be pretty concentrated with wizards. Like, there seems to be a lot of wizards per capita in Godric's Hollow for some weird unbeknownst reason.
Albus having his own aspirations as to what he wants to achieve with his intelligence and his love that he has found with Grindelwald.
Yeah, that's like two secrets right there, pretty much, because like
they
like kind
exactly.
of are secretly conniving to take over the wizarding world together via the Deathly Hallows. Then we have the secret love. So yeah, okay. So what's our secret tally up to right now? So we have Kendra Dumbledore, and we'll just count Ariana as obscurus.
Yeah,
the prison father taking over the world. We have our relationship with Gellert Grindelwald. So we're up to at least like five secrets now at this point.
Yes. And then apparently we have Aberforth secretly having a child with a woman in the neighbor village. No, actually she was from Godric's Hollow.
Yeah, a goat.
There's no goat.
Go to Lena.
What the hell, Juliana?
Go to Lena Goatsworth is from Godric Hollow.
Okay. What was my point?
That Aberforth has a relationship that is that's forbidden. We don't know who his girlfriend is. We'll just leave it there.
So, and then we keep going with the entire story that we get delivered in the second movie of this franchise.
Yeah.
Where we are made to believe that the babies are being swapped. So I guess that, did we ever find out who was actually with the baby? With Credence / Aurelius?
No,
was that an aunt, a cousin? I feel like we had a name or family relation title there, but I cannot remember it right now. I think it was someone close to the family who was on the boat, and then the baby was switched over by Lita.
I think it was an aunt, and I think that was just mostly speculation.
Okay. So there we have another secret that
we don't know exactly.
The baby was smuggled out of the country, and we don't know who it was and where they were going. What was supposed to happen to this child? Where was it supposed to go? Where would he have been? There are so many questions now when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions, so many secrets in that family that are not cleared up, and you definitely want to keep hidden, I suppose, if you are afraid of what people think of you. We have to always remember this place all in a time that is like so far removed from ours that back then it was frowned upon if you had a child with someone you were not married. And yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why they wanted to make that disappear. And as bad as that is, that was probably happening more often than we think.
Yeah.
In that time, even in the wizarding world.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not something that the general society of the world takes very well now anyway, if you have a child out of wedlock, but it's something that...
I think it's not that...
It's not punishable by banning someone.
Maybe it is depending on where you live.
Yeah, that's true too.
I think here it is much more common now that you actually have children without that you are married.
Yeah, here in the US too.
And no one cares. Yeah. But, you know, many people are still of the mindset that you are getting married first and then have that child. So
yeah, a lot of that's like religion based. So it kind of depends on where you live maybe. And what your religion is. But generally speaking, it's more acceptable now to have a kid without being married and not having to banish that child to like a whole nother country.
Oh, that especially, that is just something I really hope is
not a thing
in most places. Hopefully. Anymore. But yeah, we have to keep the time frame in mind there as well. And of course, that if you are having a child that develops a very dangerous obscurus,
mm-hmm.
and the child can't control her powers anymore, and the father is in prison, and this mother is alone with her three children, and one of the children is in such a danger, of course, the logical thing you would do is keep that a secret,
mm-hmm.
and never let that come out, because you would not want to risk losing your child.
Yeah. The other secret that's really kind of central to the plot, Mel, is the whole, I want to know who I am, from Credence, because that's something that now looking back at the Dumbledore history that we just talked about, we know who he is, because we have this now re-added in backstory as to how we kind of got to that point. But one of the major plot lines of Fantastic Beasts is Credence trying to figure out who he is. Mm. I want to know who I am. He just figures it out, I guess, in this movie, because he realizes that he's the son of Aberforth, and we as an audience can kind of put the two, because we had like the bottom part where the Dumbledores come from, and we had Credence up here, and we thought that maybe he was Albus's brother, but it didn't make sense. The puzzle pieces weren't clicking together. And then Juliana said, well, maybe he's the son of Aberforth. And the rest of the world said, no. What happened? He's the son of Aberforth. And Juliana said, ha, 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 ha.
Which is where we can pick up on what we actually mentioned earlier. How on earth did it happen that Aberforth and Credence started communicating with each other through those mirrors? How did he know he would have to contact that person?
Yeah.
What did he do? Where did he get that info? Did Grindelwald feed him more information and actually told him, hey, Aberforth is your father. I know this because I was close to Albus and Albus trusted me with anything in his life and he told me about this. Mm. So that is the only explanation I have that he would have told him. Just we don't know because we haven't seen it. Only thing we see is you are Aurelius Dumbledore. And that's it.
So I have a little mini theory that Queenie was actually the one who told Credence.
But how would she know Aberforth though?
So here's my theory. I think that Grindelwald was probably thinking at some point that just like the fact that Aurelius is the son of Aberforth, and Queenie was like, oh boy, I gotta tell him. And then she tells Credence and she is able to set up some kind of communication via Dumbledore because she knows Dumbledore. She has that connection to Dumbledore. And so I'm thinking that maybe she has had some kind of communication with him before and somehow knows how to use this mirror magic. And so she's essentially the one who, one, finds out that Credence is Aberforth's son, tells him, and then helps him set up the communication method between the two of them. Because I could see her being, she's really the only ally that he would have in Ermengarde that would actually help him with that, I think.
Okay, I have 2 points that will disprove this, because Queenie has never met Dumbledore, has she? She doesn't have a connection to him.
Isn't she at the end of the second movie on the bridge with them?
No, she's gone already.
Oh yeah, she's gone. You're right.
She has never met Albus, so there is no connection. And then we see the scene also in the third movie where she is going to Credence and he is kind of spitefully saying to her, so you're telling him everything? And she says that, no, I am not telling him everything. And when you look at that moment, you understand she knows that he is communicating with Aberforth.
Mm-hmm. Well, she can read his mind anyway, so she would know that.
Yes. Yeah, of course. But Credence would otherwise have had this conversation with her before already. If she was the one who told him, Aberforth is your father, then we wouldn't have had this moment. Because he is not sure if she has told him about this or not to Grindelwald. There she confirms, I know that you are communicating with Aberforth, your father, but I have never told him. So, unfortunately, your theory does not go through.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know how Credence would have found out that Aberforth was his. I could see Grindelwald telling him that.
Yeah.
The mirror communication setup is the part I don't understand how they started communicating with each other. That's the part I don't get, unless there's some kind of book out there, like a wizard directory that tells you exactly where you can contact people via mirror.
Let's say that Grindelwald told him openly, see, Albus has a brother, Aberforth, he is your father.
Yeah.
Here is the final truth for you, that's your father.
Yeah.
You are an actual Dumbledore, this is proof.
Yeah.
So is there some kind of spell that he could have possibly used and studied from anyone that is in the castle that could have helped him with that? Or he had found a book with spells that he could have located the pub from Aberforth in some way? He doesn't even have to know that it's a pub. That he can locate the space where Aberforth lives and start to communicate with him through the mirror.
So kind of like a wizard find my friends section on your iPhone?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yes. So
he opens up his weird book and he says, find my friends.
Help me find my father with this spell. It could have been some kind of strong connection because it's a blood relation, it's his father, and that would help probably to pinpoint the person perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some way he would start this communication through the mirror because that is such a safe way, or probably the safest way to communicate, because it disappears right away and you don't have any proof left that Grindelwald can't pick up on. If you would send letters, owls, or anything that could be immediately be noticed and intercepted and read and found out, and then he would be in big trouble.
Yeah.
So this is actually really clever magic.
Yeah. And him asking for a mirror from Grindelwald doesn't seem, like, weird. Yeah. Like, can I have a mirror for my room? Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Yeah. So I feel like he might have... He got the full truth from Grindelwald about that. He did not lie.
Uh-huh.
And then he kind of found a way to start this, to locate Aberforth, and then a spell still where you could communicate through the mirror. Because he is studying all this magic right now, and he wants to learn as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I would assume that he would definitely go for spells that would help him to further find out where he comes from, why is his life ended up like this, what is, you know, everything that could help him to get the final answers that he still seeks.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes a lot more sense in my theory, so I will take your theory, Mel.
I think I did good.
I think you did a lovely job.
Hmm.
Are you an expert?
Thank you.
Yes, you are.
I am an expert.
Mel is an expert.
Oh my god, I leveled up. Yay!
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Bing!
Woohoo!
Bing! You've leveled up, Mel.
Thank you.
Okay, so I still want to say, Mel, who, in your opinion, if we were to pick one Dumbledore in this movie that we think the title is referring to, who do you think, for you personally, the title is referring to?
It's a big, big tie between Albus and Credence.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a lot that we are learning about Albus in this movie.
Uh-huh, we are, yes.
And Credence, yes, it's a very crucial thing to find out who he is in this. But in a way, it is mostly about Albus and Grindelwald's relationship and how it started, where it led, what it is right now. So I think putting all of this together, it would still refer the most to Albus.
Hmm. So I think I'm going to disagree with you, Mel. Yeah, hot takes. I'll take with Julie, I know, right? So for me, I think from a marketing standpoint, this is Albus. The people who are doing the marketing, they're like, yeah, this is Albus Dumbledore. And he obviously is like the biggest Dumbledore in the entire movie. But I think as for secrets that we learn, I would say that his secrets aren't the most pivotal to this movie just because we already knew he was in love with Grindelwald. And we kind of knew a lot of the things going into this movie that could be quantified as secrets. So I think that honestly, the biggest secret of this movie comes from Aberforth. I think this is Aberforth's secret because he's the one who is the father of Credence. And that's kind of like one of the big pivotal points of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that just like secret based wise is the biggest secret of this movie that gets the reveal. Yes, it does not get enough pomp and circumstance, I think, in that scene, in any capacity.
No, it really doesn't.
They really blow it over. But I mean, as you know from the second movie, that was the cliffhanger we were left on.
I know.
I feel like that's kind of the pivotal secret, quote unquote, that's in this movie. Because there's a lot of things that happen that aren't actually like secrets. And there's a lot of things that were pivotal to the plot that we know about Dumbledore, but we knew he was gay. We knew he had a relationship with Gerlert. We knew a lot of the things that he tells us. We just hadn't heard them like straight outright, like as a direct sentence. But we knew these things as facts already. But we did not know that Aberforth had a child and that that child was Credence. So for me, this means Aberforth because he has the secret that is most pivotal, I think, to this movie is the fact that Credence is his son. And he's been the one who's been keeping this secret.
The way you're putting it is basically how I kind of thought it by pointing out Credence because that intertwines so much.
Yeah, it's just the fact that Aberforth is the one holding the secret. Credence isn't the one holding the secret.
True.
He is the secret, but Aberforth is the one who owns the secret. So for me, his ownage of the secret makes him the most secretive Dumbledore.
So does Dumbledore, though, because he knew about it.
I think for me, in my head, Canimel, and this could just be me.
And that's why I'm saying it should be the entire family.
Yeah, it should be the entire family.
Refer to the entire family because Albus knew that as well. Of course, it is Aberforth's foremost his personal secret because that is his son.
Yeah.
But Albus knew about it as well, so they kept it both together. But yeah, I can actually see that.
Did I put a... I feel like that was a pretty good argument.
That was a good point.
Thank you.
I think you also leveled up to expert.
Bun-ding!
Do-do-do-do-do! Woohoo!
Juliana is hitting a Mario block.
You know what?
What?
Yes, let's both clap ourselves on our shoulder. We did very well.
We nerded up today. Good yes. job on nerding up, Mel.
We are super ultimate nerds now.
Yes, yes. Does that mean we get capes? I hope we get a cape.
Oh, can we have capes,
Can we
please?
Get capes now?
Yes.
Then we get...
want to have a cape.
Mel inserts Edna Mo going, no capes.
Shoot. All right. So do we have anything else to add to this?
I think we should send it over to Buttercup and send it over to the listeners, because I feel like this is a really good point for us to end on. And yes. I think the listeners, after listening to us, Mel, will have a lot of thoughts and feelings that they would like to share. So I think it's time, for the first time in a while, that we hand it over to our good friend Buttercup, who has been very patiently waiting for us to send her some questions. So Buttercup, take it away.
Excuse me, Buttercup?
Yes?
Would you mind giving us the question of the week?
Oh, so you're back for that now, are you?
Sorry?
Here I was thinking, you are going to talk to me, you're going to spend time with me when we're having a couple of days off, but no, of course not. I had to enjoy all of these cupcakes with these lovely worms by myself. Not that I'm complaining about that, but you know, I wanted to share it with you because I like you girls, but now...
It's been a bit busy?
Alright, let's get to the question, should we? So it's all about the secrets of Dumbledore, is it? Maybe we should ask our listeners if they have any remaining questions, thoughts, and comments. What do you think is the secret of Dumbledore? And who of the Dumbledores is meant to be talked about the most in this movie? Alright, shall that be enough for you?
Yes, thank you, Buttercup. I really appreciate it, and I'm so sorry we have been...
Oh, it's fine. A little vacation was good. I'm not gonna lie. Life has been a bit busy, hasn't it?
Yeah, of sorts.
Okay. So, listeners, if you would like to send us your comments, your questions, all of your thoughts, please go to our social media or send us an email at puffcastpod@gmail.com. And I hope that you're having a lovely week.
Well, thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. And listeners, if you'd like to share your feedback with us, you know where to find us, because you can find us where all podcasts are. Pod. Given
that was
yeah
Julia's brilliant gonna, Julia's... immediately destroyed our new reputation
I leveled I only lost 2 health points for that, Mel. I didn't level down. Okay. I just lost 2
health
points.
You can get those back again.
Okay.
Try again.
Okay. So listeners, if you'd like to answer that question or get in contact with us, you can find us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffCastPod. We are over on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast and also very casually on TikTok at PuffCast. You can send us an email if you have any thoughts, feelings, reactions, or long rants to our email at PuffCastPod@gmail.com. And you can also support us over on Patreon and get some really cool bonus content like our listener feedback that we just did that Mel lovely edited, and it was very fun to listen to at patreon.com/puffcast for as little as $2 a month. And we also give back to charity every month. And I would just like to thank the listeners and the patrons specifically, because this month we gave to the Spondylitis International Association. And that is something that, if anyone is familiar with, I actually suffer from a condition that's related to that. And I've used a lot of their resources, and they're a very good organization. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, patrons, for helping us donate to that. That's really nice.
Thank you.
Yay! If you'd like to do us a solid, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you leave us a nice review, we will read it here, and I will send you a sticker and a friendship bracelet. Until next time, stay puffy.
And badger on with all those secrets that you have hidden under your bed. I know you have.
I have lots of secrets.
I can smell them.
I have lots of secrets, Mel.
I know you do, and I will fight them out all.
I know.